Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. here. We're going to have Seth join us in a little bit, but we are going to start up our candidate series again for today. A little bit later, we're going to be talking with Eric Saylor, Port Edwards Village Trustee. Looking forward to that. Right now, joining us in studio is Elizabeth St. Myers, Wisconsin Rapids School Board candidate. Elizabeth, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Appreciate the time. Reminding everybody out there in our candidate series, I will ask our candidates some questions. I'll ask the question, you answer, we'll move on to the next one. This isn't really a debate or a conversation necessarily. It's an opportunity to give our candidates a chance to talk to your constituents and speak to everybody out there. And Elizabeth, one of the things that I've been doing with the first question, because as we encourage more and more people to, you know, join boards and give to civil service and be a part of their community and everything, I'm curious, how have you enjoyed this experience?
I've really enjoyed it so far. It's been great to engage with community members, staff, caregivers of our students, both online at meet and greets, and just really hearing from them what their concerns are as we head into an opportunity for them to elect new school board candidates, kind of seeing what their thoughts are about what's going well and what their concerns are for the future.
Elizabeth, what do you see as the board's roles and responsibilities?
Sure. The board's role and responsibility is really that oversight of the school district. One of the biggest responsibilities that they have is upcoming, and that is choosing the new superintendent. They've already started the process. I think it's great that they've taken the opportunity to communicate with the community and see what's important as they look for our new candidate. And I think that is probably one of their biggest responsibilities, is making sure we choose the right person to lead the school district.
How do you plan to include parents, teachers, the community in decision making?
Sure. I think there's a lot of great opportunities right now already for families and community members to be involved in our school district. Each school has weekly newsletters or monthly newsletters, kind of keeping families updated on information that's relevant to them. The school does a great job with their website, kind of posting meetings. Community members have an opportunity to come in and speak at the school board meetings about items that are on the agenda. When you think about like new curriculum or things, changes that the school district's looking at making, there's an opportunity to come in and give feedback on curriculum. So I think there's a lot of really great opportunities and just continuing those.
We're speaking with Wisconsin Rapids School Board candidate Elizabeth St. Myers. And Elizabeth, what distinguishes you from other candidates?
Sure. So my oldest is a junior at Lincoln. And when he was getting ready to start kindergarten, I really started getting involved in WRPS, seeing ways that I could get involved and really make a difference in his schools. Our daughter is also a student now. So starting in elementary school, I've been a parent at two different elementary schools, Rams, Central Oaks, and now Lincoln. I also worked as a special education aide for a year, subbing, before working full-time. So I think that brings a little glimpse of a staff perspective as well. And I'm a community volunteer here. I sit on the McMillan Library Board. I also sit on the Boys and Girls Club Board. So I think if I combine all of those different viewpoints, I really bring a well-rounded perspective to the board.
And final question for you, Elizabeth, and you can get back to your very busy day, it sounds like. Why should voters cast their ballot for you? Any final thoughts?
Sure. I think voters should cast their ballot for me because I am a strong advocate for public education. I really believe in offering the best schools for our students here. I am more than willing to take the time and research. I'm committed to diving deep into concerns that come before the board and just really coming up with a well-thought-out answer, well-researched.
Elizabeth, not only do we appreciate the time, but appreciate the taking out of your personal life to not only run for this position, but the other work that you do for the community. We appreciate you. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
You can find out more about Elizabeth and who else is going to be on your ballot at myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov. You can go there to register or find out if you're registered, where to vote, all the great information that you need is right there at myvote.wi.gov. And keep in mind, our good friends at the League of Women Voters have a candidate meet and greet coming up at McMillan Library going on tomorrow. You can check that out at McMillan Library. It will kick off at 6 o'clock. Be sure to meet everybody over there to meet these candidates. We'll have more information on that a little bit later in our good stories of the day. And we'll also be interviewing another candidate a little bit later. Eric Saylor, Port Edwards Village Trustee, will be joining us right here on The Morning Show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James here with you, ready to have some fun, dive into some entertainment, and whatever other stuff we can get ourselves into. It is live radio, after all.
After all.
We kick things off with entertainment news this hour, and I want to note something, and it kind of ties into our last conversation where we were interviewing one of our candidates for local office. Channel 9 WAOW in Wausau, I've known some people over there over the years and have worked with them and really enjoyed the work that they do. And that's kind of, you know, we all have our stations we watch.
Sure.
And that's kind of when I do watch local news on TV, that tends to be the station I go to. I do have to call them out, though, because they do not cover the Wisconsin Rapids area very well and hardly at all.
Right.
I don't know why we have to have two radio TV stations in Wausau, but we do. With that, when they do cover this city and cities next to us like Nakusa and that, I feel like the coverage is not very well done and kind of, if I'm being honest, phoned in or at least half done. And it was proven to me in the last episode that they had on late last night at the 10 o'clock news, where they were talking about the candidates for Wisconsin Rapids mayor.
Okay.
And they said they interviewed to talk to both mayors. And then they played just an interview where they talked to Matt Zacher. And that's it. And that's not fair.
That's not equal time either. That's interesting.
Now, this isn't me standing up for one. I would say the same thing if they just interviewed Tom and not Matt. I would say the same exact thing. This is not me biased towards one candidate or the other. It is that what we do here at WFHR, it is giving equal amount of time to every candidate. If I'm a Rapids resident and I have not been paying attention to WFHR, which, what are you doing? Why wouldn't you? If you haven't caught the interviews, if you haven't been able to hear from Matt and Tom and everything, all you heard in that segment was Matt. That's it. That's not justifiable. That's not fair.
Yeah.
That's not the way elections are supposed to be run.
Exactly.
And in a day and age where you got a lot of people out there looking to poke holes in everything that we do as media.
Yep.
Everything. This job is hard enough. It's hard enough to get people to trust facts nowadays, real, genuine facts, let alone when you report like that. It's lazy and it's not good reporting.
Right.
And you need to be called out for it. Do better. You can do better.
Right.
And I'm saying that as a fan of the network, of the station, and all of that.
Right.
I'm saying that with love. I'm saying that's what love is. Love is not just blindly letting everything go or supporting somebody who smacks you in the face all the time and everything. It's having accountability.
Well, and because so many people, that's the outlet that we have. It's not because I prefer the Wausau because the Rapids TV, there is no Rapids TV.
Yeah.
That's all we have. Yeah. And I think there's a lot of people here that do watch that, and they should take that into consideration when they're covering this area, which they should, because it's important.
Yeah. You can keep listening here for great local coverage. We'll be certainly covering the Central Wisconsin area better than anybody.
You're not going to find it anywhere else. I can guarantee that.
We got to get into this one, Seth. It's a little uncomfortable, but that's part of life.
That's what we do here, man.
Yeah, it really is. Dan Schneider watched the new doc series, Quiet on the Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV, and he's really sorry. In a video interview released yesterday, he said it was very difficult to watch, and quote, "I definitely owe some people a pretty strong apology." If you haven't heard about this story, I encourage people to read a little bit more about it. Schneider agreed that a lot of the jokes, a lot of the things that he did on set were not kosher, were not okay. He would have assistants and different people it's massaging him in between scenes and everything. And the things he asked these young actors like Ariana Grande and all these people to do, you wouldn't want your kid on that set.
No.
around somebody like this. Mm-hmm. The more attention we call to call out on these kind of situations and these kind of people, hopefully the less we have of it in the industry.
And that is, you know what, we're seeing more and more of this come to light about the working conditions for just the regular staffers. So much has come out in the last couple of years about, you know, what about talk shows? You know, Kelly Clarkson. Yeah. Not Kelly Clarkson herself, but her staff.
Yep.
And, of course, the whole mess with Jimmy Fallon.
Ellen DeGeneres.
Yeah. Look, okay, we can do this without treating each other like garbage.
Yeah.
It's what I don't understand is how they think you can get away with it.
Yeah.
That part I don't get, okay? Any other industry you're in, you can't do that.
No.
You cannot do that.
Well, and granted, I don't have a great career or a lot of experience,
right.
But I've been on at least 16, 17 different movie sets and TV shows and everything, and I've seen some really hectic times. I've worked on some really low-budget things and then some things with a decent budget, and everything's been fine. Like, on the Conan show, we had days where the writers are getting us stuff at the last second. We only have so much time on this studio to film. We got to go. Everything's right now. We got it's so intense.
It's very stressful.
So crazy.
Yep.
All that's going on. And there's Conan poking me. and the other writers as we're walking past, literally just poking us. Like, the silliness and everything.
Yeah.
Like, it's entertainment. Think about what Conan would sit there and do these speeches sometimes. And usually at the beginning of the week or at the end of the week. And one of the things he would do is appreciate what we get to do. This is our job. This is what we get to do, you know, and it's something I have to remind myself of all the time, especially in this job. I get busy, I get focused, and I get very, very perfectionist about this job and wanting to give everything I've got to this station and to our listeners. And I have to remind myself all the time, I'm very lucky. I'm very
right.
fortunate. I get to do a job that I love, and not everybody gets to do that in life.
Right.
So appreciate it, and you know, don't take it so seriously.
Right.
Life don't
right.
take so seriously.
Well, and I think part of it is that this whole idea that because you're an artist, you know, that you can get away with anything. And I think we realize that no, that's not true.
Yeah.
You're being a jerk because you have power, and you're abusing it. That's why it has nothing to do with the creative process. You can be the nicest person on the planet and still be a great artist.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Yeah.
It's perfectly capable. People are capable of doing it.
And I think it's it should be noted as well that it can be taken from you. You could be a Schneider. You could be a very popular producer at a network and everything and have a looks like a long career ahead of you. And when you treat people bad, that career dries up quick, fast.
And that's the way it should be.
Yes.
You need to treat people the right way with generosity of spirit. Yep.
Not a household name, but I am very excited about this. And as somebody who was in the running for it, I want to be respectful and do the classy thing and congratulate Aaron Taylor Johnson, who is reportedly in talks to become the next James Bond. I, of course, famously threw my hat in the ring for this when Daniel Craig retired. I already got the first name. I feel like, hey, look, half the job's done. All right. I do a pretty solid English accent. I mean, you know.
You can pull it off.
I don't look the greatest coming out of the water like Daniel Craig did, though. I cannot pull that scene off.
All Bond guys need to look good coming out of the water.
Yeah, I don't know how they do that.
Yeah.
Aaron is not a household name necessarily, but I think you'd recognize him. He was the lead actor in Kick-Ass. He was in Bullet Train. He was in Avengers Age of Ultron. Mm-hmm. And according to the UK newspaper The Sun, Aaron is, quote, expected to accept the role later this week. When he was recently asked about playing 007, he said, quote, I find it charming and wonderful that people see me in that role. I take it as a great compliment. Of course, Daniel Craig, last appearance was in 2021's No Time to Die.
Right.
And they've been waiting for a while. I think they waited almost too long to recast this role because it did look like Idris Elba was going to be the next James Bond. But Idris had a scheduling thing and also took a lot of backlash before he even was even offered the role. Because, we can't have a black James Bond. It's a fictional character. Get over it.
Come on.
Let it go. It's like the people freaking out over Santa being a Mexican or something like that. Yeah, like, what are you talking about? First off, Santa's been Latin my whole life. Like every Kmart I ever went to when I was a kid, the Santa was either a Latin guy or a Puerto Rican guy or something like that. Like, so dude, miss me with that.
Santa's based on a guy who's from Turkey. Come on.
What are we doing? What are we freaking out over here? Like, look, there are plenty of things in life that are going to come up that are worth getting bent out of shape about. Right. Choose your battles wisely.
Yeah.
Think about this. Does it really need my, anger or frustration or anything? This kid is a great actor. He's very good, yes. I really like his work. I'm excited about him being the next James Bond. I hope this actually happens and he takes the role. Do you have something?
Sorry. I was going to say he's finally aged up to it too.
Yeah.
Because Bond cannot be too young. He has to have that certain amount of experience, you know, at least the look of experience to him. Otherwise, it just doesn't work for him.
Yeah.
So I like the idea that that he's a little bit older now and can do that.
I'm curious how this will go for him too, because he is he was just cast in the movie Craven is coming out. Mm-hmm. That he's going to be starring. He is Craven, and if that does well, and it's already by from what I've read and everything, he's already tied into other projects as that character.
So
they don't often do that. They've done this the last two now. Mm-hmm. Where with Daniel Craig's got the Golden Compass and all these other movies at the time that are out, and you cast a big name.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't used to do that. It was usually the Roger Moores, Sean Connery wasn't a household name when he got the James Bond role.
No, he was not.
Taking these more bigger names, I find that interesting, and mm-hmm. I wonder if that's hedging your bets a little bit.
Probably.
You know, it's an older franchise. It's not as easy to get people to watch these movies anymore.
You have to do something different. Like, well, we talked about it yesterday. Sequels and prequels. People are getting sick of that. So how do you make it fresh? How do you make it new?
Lollapalooza's new. They announced their lineup yesterday. Headliners include Blink-182, SZA, Tyler, the Creator, The Killers, Hozier, Future, and Skrillex. So basically, it's Lollapalooza for 1999 or 2000 or
It's close,
something.
With a few exceptions in there. But you're...
I mean, they got the Deftones there too, man.
No.
I mean, they got a.
Seriously?
Are there no new artists? Are there?
For Lollapalooza, I guess not.
Apparently not.
They need to bring back the Horde Tour. That was a good one.
Nice reference. The 4-day festival returns to Chicago's Grant Park, one of the greatest parks in the world, from August 1st through August 4th. Passes go on sale tomorrow. Have you ever been to a show like that before?
No, never. Like a festival? No.
I've been to a bunch of the Ozfests. Mm-hmm. I've been to a lot of those, like four or five of them. And I went to a Lollapalooza one year when Chance the Rapper was there. Mm-hmm. I wanted to see him, and I got to see him in Chicago. And that meant a lot. That was pretty cool. It's a wild ride. It's a circus. But I do want to say I found it really safe and not too crazy with, like, people not on top of you kind of thing. Like Ozfest, where you're constantly bumping into people and mm-hmm. all that. I thought Lollapalooza was really spread out very well. It was a really fun experience.
That's cool.
If you're looking for something fun to do, I'd recommend that. Let's see. We'll go ahead and get to this other story here that I wanted to touch on.
All right.
Because there's a couple of things locally that I want to get to.
Okay.
I mentioned this before with our last candidate. We have our friends at the League of Women Voters have a candidate meet and greet at McMillan Library going on mm-hmm. tomorrow. This will be in their all-purpose room. It'll begin at 6:00. And encourage you to go head on over there and check out all these great candidates
and what
they have to offer. Learn who will be on your ballot. Join the McMillan Library for the meet and greet with the candidates and local public office. From 6 to 7, Wisconsin Rapids mayoral candidates and Wisconsin Rapids City Council members will be there, the candidates from Districts 4 and 8. Mm-hmm. That'll be from 6 to 7. Then 7 to 8, Wisconsin Rapids Public School Board candidates and the Town of Saratoga Supervisor candidates.
Okay.
I encourage you to check this out. A big thank you to McMillan Library and our League of Women Voters.
More information is always better when it comes to elections.
Keep in mind, we have this from the League of Women Voters. If you need to do your checklist about voting, check to register your registration status, get your information on how to register to vote, find out where to vote, all that information, go to myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov.
Nice.
And I want to remind you that the first and third Thursday of every month, our good friend Pete Revel and Four on the Floor performing at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. Free admission, donations are accepted for the artists, and a great opportunity to not only take in some great jazz, but some great history of music.
You know, I was going to say, you know, yeah, you can go for the music, but what you really want to go for is Pete's stories.
Yeah.
He is a storyteller. Like, I mean, I'm telling you, back when we got him on Director's Cut, man, he told some great stories.
That'll be one of my favorite things I ever do in radio, interviewing Pete. It was so much fun.
It was so much fun.
Support local artists, support local, and support our friends over at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, 2651 A Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. They got some great things going on over there, like Pete Revel and Four on the Floor.
Their gift shop is open, too. Get some really cool stuff there.
It's a great way to support local. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to support
local artists
and everything. Encourage you to do that, everybody. And it is a Wednesday. We know what that means, Seth.
Bingo.
What's his name? Bingo at the Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge number 693. Join them at 430 West Jackson Street when they open their doors at 5. Bingo kicks off at 6:30. That place is always popping when I drive past there on Wednesdays. It really is. And a big shout out to the Elks Lodge. Not only do they host so many great local events and do so many things like in our area, but every Elks Lodge, no matter where you're living, if you've got an Elks Lodge, you got an organization that puts back into their community.
Absolutely.
It's a part of their charter. It's a part of who they are. We appreciate that so much. And big shout out to our Wisconsin Rapids Elks Lodge. Join them at 430 West Jackson Street tonight at 5 when they open their doors. Bingo at 6:30.
Nice.
Did want to remind everybody that the Easter Egg Hunt and 5K Run is going on with our good friends over in Nakusa. This is taking place at the Nakusa Community Center this Saturday. It'll begin at the 8 a.m. will be the 5K Run walk start, and at 10 a.m. will be the Easter Egg Hunt.
Yeah.
The Nakusa Community Center, located at 416 Crestview Lane. Go join our friends over there for a great hopping time.
Get it? Hopping time.
I apologize for that joke.
That wasn't yours, though.
I do want to remind everybody that things like that Easter egg hunt, we want them. We want your organization's Easter egg hunts in this area. Please let us know about them. Give our great friend Pam a call at 424-1300 and tell us about your Easter events. We'll get them in our community calendar and on the air here with
us. Yes, indeed.
Looking forward to that.
Yep.
We will take a quick time out, get to our news break. We'll come back and have some more fun in the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Seth and James behind the mics. Hope you're having a good one out there. Thanks so much for joining us. A little bit later, about 9:50 today, we're going to have Eric Saylor join us, Port Edwards Village Trustee candidate, as we continue our candidate series.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that. Right now, guys, take a look at your hands. Smell your hands.
What?
Do they smell weird?
What?
Mine don't smell like anything.
Yeah.
I don't smell anything for mine. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. This is kind of unexpectedly good news, sort of, in a way. Okay. Men are self-conscious about how they smell and what relief that is. What relief that is.
That is actually not a bad thing.
It's a good thing. In a survey of men, 72% said that they're anxious about how their body smells on a typical day.
Oh, wow.
72%.
That's pretty high.
52% worry that they have BO and aren't aware of it. And 59% say that they'd like someone to tell them if they smell. Only 59%. Wow. I find that a little surprising, actually.
Wow. Okay.
I'm going to rip the Band-Aid off right now, right here.
Okay.
If I got something in between my teeth, or if I smell, if you are my friend, you tell me. I want to know. I don't care how embarrassing it is, what the situation is. I would rather know than not know.
Well, now that you've said that, James, I have to. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
The body parts men are conscious about include their armpits, their neck, their head and hair, and this is in order, their arms, and 25% of men said that they're worried about the smell of their hands.
That's a quarter. Wow.
That's interesting.
Think of all the stuff that I guess it depends on too, like what you do for a living. If you work with your hands, you know this, you know, if you're handling certain chemicals or things like that, your hands are going to make weird smells when after a while, but
I can't think of what the name of it was, but I know that I was always happy whenever I was on a site or working construction and somebody had on this one soap. It was like this special industrial soap that could even get some of that grime off and everything.
Was it lava?
Lava soap. Yeah, it was good stuff, man. That stuff worked good.
It's supposed to work really well.
We assume that they're worried about their hands smelling like sweat, dirt, and those kind of things. Not overly perfumed or something.
Okay, anyway.
The average man uses 3 hygiene products like deodorant to control their body odor. Other tactics men use for limited BO, taking additional showers, changing clothes, and limiting physical activity. Yeah, that's why they're doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. Who threw that one in there?
I'm not working out today. I got to worry about the smells. I'm doing this for you, everybody. You're welcome. You can send your thank you cards too.
Exactly. Someone's played a trick on someone here.
I don't. I do think though this is good for society that men worry about these things.
That they smell better.
Yes.
You're. This is not a bad thing. You're correct.
No. I've certainly, like most people out there, I've worried about something like this, but I don't think about any specific body part. Just in general, I'm worried about it. And for me, I think part of the reason is I've never been able to smell really well. My whole life. My adenoids have been all messed up, all that stuff and everything. So I've never been great at smelling. And then when it comes to that and doing the body check that we always, every guy does, where you put your nose under your shirt.
Sure,
and
yeah.
I can't smell anything. So it doesn't help me any. No.
Well, as far as I can tell, James, there's nothing there to smell. So you're good. You're good. As far as I can tell, no.
A lot of people don't know. The reason I work in radio is because they don't want me around people. I'm worried about my smell. No. I think that's one of those things, too, where when it comes to dealing with strangers in society or your coworkers in society, we're learning more and more and we're becoming more and more free when it comes to that. Mm-hmm. Some of that has a positive, some of it negative. I think that one of the positives are we're becoming more and more aware of I may not go home at night with that person. I may just work with that person, but there are feelings and opinion matters.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I'm only around them 8 hours a day,
right,
I should at the very least have some decent clothes on or smell decent.
Right. Well, it's in a lot of, and think about this. I mean, in a lot of ways where you work, you spend more time necessarily with those people than you do with your family sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
You know, considering, look over the course of a year or something like that if you average it out. But yeah, I mean, you should be treating them. And I'm not saying that you have to be we're a family here at Conglomco or whatever it is.
Yes.
But you should treat respect, with the Acme.
Any chance to wrench an Acme? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to stop.
That's
I didn't mean to
interrupt you. But you should have respect for your fellow workers. I mean, you gotta work together. Come on. Make it better for everybody.
Isn't this literally like the least we can do?
The utterly least we can do.
At the very least, you can give respect to each other and to your coworkers. There. And part of showing respect is not just how you treat people, mm-hmm. but how you handle yourself.
Yeah.
How you treat your body, how you treat yourself, and just trying to look decent, it's one of those things, like with this job, I learned real quick, not only do I want to make sure, like the biggest job I have in interviewing people is, yes, getting information out to you and giving them an opportunity to get that information out there mm-hmm. properly. Also, looking decent and smelling decent and all these things when we have people in. But you also, I don't want to be dressed in a suit every day when they come in. Many of our guests, if not 90-some% of our guests, come in from work or are dressed, mm-hmm. Average, just comfortable or something.
And that could, if you were like very formal about it, that could make them extremely uncomfortable.
Yes.
I mean, think about this too. Yes. If it happens a lot, if you've been to like a party or something and everyone's dressed better than you, then you feel very awkward and out of place. Same thing. I mean, you want them to feel comfortable. You do not want them to feel awkward.
I went to a, I thought it was a toga party.
Oh, no.
Because it was a Greek fraternity, and I didn't know anybody, so I got the information like half-handed and everything. And my buddy's Will, he's going, and he's like, "Oh man, I'll meet you there," and everything. I don't know where it is. He tells me, I show up, nobody. I'm the only person. And this is me out in California, I had a bed sheet that I grabbed off of Will's bed that he just cleaned. It was a clean sheet, thank God.
Thank God.
But I grabbed that. I'm doing all of this last second. I rush over there, and as I'm knocking on the door, I'm like, okay, yeah, I remember boxers. Thank God. And they open the door, and then I'm there, and everybody's just laughing at me. I had fun with it, though. I had fun with it.
Oh, if anyone could turn that situation around, I think it would be you. You can really roll with it.
You really have to.
You know what? You know, you're humiliated anyway. Just go with it.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
You're not going to be more humiliated. I mean,
this is UCLA. What am I going to do? Cry and run out there? No. You just embrace it.
You just go with it, man. Southern California.
And I wasn't even the weirdest person looking at the park.
No, I'm sure you weren't. It's who invited this homeless guy? I mean,
One more I want to get to before we go to break. Let me see here. I wanted to get to one of these here. Oh, this is the one. This is the one. So this is a That Ain't Right story we got to get to, Seth.
All right.
And this is an interesting one. If you're a real estate agent, there are a few tips and tricks to success and a few things that I think that are necessary for the job. And really, there's one major thing you don't want to do. Don't burn down the building. You're trying to sell this? That's not a selling point.
Well, James, that would seem like a no-brainer. Like, you need the product in order to sell it, right?
It would seem that way. A real estate agent in Australia got in some hot water a while back when she accidentally burned a multi-million-dollar property to the ground while preparing for an open house.
Okay.
The house had renters at the time, and the agent was running around tidying things up. She noticed some bedding that was hanging out back to dry and thought it would look bad. So she balled it up and took it downstairs and threw it on a shelf under a lamp. Then she turned that light on. I don't know why she did this.
Why did she do that part? That's weird.
About 20 minutes later, a major fire broke out, and a majority of the house was burned down to the studs.
Oh, dear.
They later determined that it started because of the bedding and the basement light. Apparently, the light heated the blankets up, which were right up against it. Caught fire.
Oh, okay.
And tore through the house.
Is this like an actual oily rag fire that we hear about? Yeah, take care of your oily rags. What houses have oily rags laying around? I never understood that. But anyway, I digress.
It's a great question. This happened a few years back, and the case was just decided in court. The owner told the judge that the real estate agent admitted it was her fault, telling him, oh my God, I think I have burned down the house. She even suggested that it was the bedding that probably did it. But in court, she argued that the owner and the renters were also to blame because she wasn't aware the lamp would cause anything on the shelf to heat up like that. Wait a minute. That's basic science, man.
Back up.
Come on. In the end, the court ruled that the real estate agent's negligence was at fault, mm-hmm. saying she actively created the risk of fire and the consequential harm. The company she worked for was ordered to pay the damages to both the homeowner and the renters who lost all their belongings in the fire.
Yes. Oh, that ain't right. That is a tough story.
That ain't right story.
Man, you know.
My family went through a bad fire, mm-hmm. so I don't make light of these situations. And I'll being honest, they even give a little PTSD for me talking about them. But I do think that it's important to find the silver linings and important to find the funny in life.
Mm-hmm.
And the owners of this establishment were able to do that. And apparently on social media, I've had some fun with this one and everything. Now that the court has been decide now the case
right
has been
now the
decided,
case has been
and they actually
right.
talk about it mm-hmm. and everything. I also this lady messed up. She made a mistake.
She did,
and she has to have accountability for it. I also can't help but feel for it. The real estate game is tough.
It is,
and oftentimes you get into that industry and you're in it for a long time. It's hard to find work in other fields.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine what it's got to be like for her trying to find work. That is tough,
especially now that she's got the judgment against her. And that is pretty tough.
Do you just lean into it and like see if you can work for any company, kind of company that burns things? Like, I mean, do you just kind of lean into it?
That might be a bridge too far.
Yeah, it might be.
But you got to do something, I guess. So that's rough. Oh.
We'll take a short break, come back, and have some more fun on The Morning Show at WFHR.
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're going to rock around the clock tonight. Put your scratch bags on.
Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
Rock tonight. We're going to rock, rock, rock. Till broad daylight. We're going to rock around the clock tonight.
Seth and James here with you, going into our next segment here. Keep in mind, everybody, a little bit, we're going to wrap up the show today, speaking with Eric Saylor, Port Edwards Village Trustee candidate. Looking forward to that. That'll be about 9:50. Eric will join us.
All right.
For right now, another That Ain't Right story, Seth, and this is a doozy. A bartender in Florida is making a very good living slapping spring breakers in the face. I don't know what we're doing anymore.
Wow. Okay.
If you've never heard of a hurricane shot, that's what it is. Most of it, her customers are men, but she'll slap women too. For $30, you could take a shot, have a pitcher of water thrown in your face, and get slapped in the face hard. She's been selling up to 6,000 worth of shots a night.
What?
In related news, I don't understand business. I don't understand consumerism anymore.
I don't either.
I don't know what we're doing anymore. It's the same thing. This is similar to me to, I think it was Chipotle or somebody like that had a drink that people were like having heart attacks from, and like people were warned to drink and all this. And then immediately a ton of people on the internet, oh, we got to try this. I got to do this. Anytime you hear something that's like dangerously spicy or dangerously hot, there's a section of the world that's like, I need to do this.
The one chip challenge kind of thing. Yeah. Something like that.
It feels like that. It also feels like the power of alcohol. and how...
You ain't wrong, man.
There are a few things that can make a sort of like a half a good idea turn into a idea you're going to do than alcohol.
Boy... I don't understand spring break.
I don't, as a cultural phenomenon, I
just don't get it.
Well, it seems like you're not alone there. The younger generations are feeling the same way.
That's good.
What their spring break is so different than what we grew up with.
Yeah.
What they're doing now, and so much of it has to do. I mean, I talked to one of my students because we have a kind of a short break for our students coming up. And with that, asking, you know, hey, what are you guys up to? Where are you going and all that? And I'd say in years past, traveling here, traveling there, or whatever. I've got two different students that are putting their time into shelters, working at a shelter in Chicago.
It's becoming more popular,
doing that with their time. Mm-hmm. A lot more people are doing that. The way they explained it to me, I'm like, well, is it, you know, that's cool. I appreciate you doing that, but don't you want to have some fun at spring break and all that? To them, they got plenty of time to celebrate. They got plenty of time to party. Oh. They want to get to work. They want to, and if they're not working, they want to do things that are putting back into the world.
That's really cool.
It's not uncommon. It's more common than not with this younger generation. Like they're more and more doing these kind of things. We see it on a national news level often, but not as often as I think it's actually happening.
Right, exactly.
The younger generation is not waiting to take over. They're not waiting to make moves. They're doing stuff, man.
That's because they took a look around and was like, no one else seems to be doing anything, so let's go ahead. We this is our world, you know, too, and we need to do something.
I'm not one of those people that is going, the younger generation this, the younger generation that, and all that. Except when it comes to this story. What are you doing?
We've all got our things that we got to work through, you know.
This is the first story, I think, that's ever made me feel really old. Like I'm old man yelling at cloud or something. What are you doing, you spring breakers? Why would you want to be slapped in the face? And as a side note, you ain't got to travel to Florida for that.
I was going to say.
I'm pretty sure there's some Wisconsin bartenders.
They'll be ready and willing, and we'll do it for free.
Yeah, ain't going to cost you.
They're not going to charge you anything for it.
Ain't going to cost you as much. This can only go wrong. There's no spinning this to where it could go in a positive way
or something like that.
I don't know about
it's,
that one.
It's bizarre. It's strange.
That is a bizarre one, all right.
The world is a strange place, my friend.
Live in a weird world, and we have a weird show that we do around here. And we have fun
with it. We fit right in.
Yeah. Seth, great show today. Thanks so much.
Oh, it was so much fun.
We're going to take a timeout check-in with our partners. When we come back, we'll wrap up the show with our candidate series, Eric Saylor, Port Edwards Village Trustee, joining us in just a few right here on Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to the Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here, and we're going to continue our candidate series right now. We have with us Port Edwards Village Trustee candidate Eric Saylor. Eric, good morning.
Good morning, James. How are you doing?
Doing good. How you doing, man?
Good.
Thanks for being here. Eric, we're going to continue this series, and I want to start off with our first question. And Eric, we're encouraging more and more people to be a part of civil duty, to be on boards and that. And so that's the essence of my first question of how have you enjoyed this experience?
The election experience or being on the board?
Well, you can give us both.
Well, I've been on the board since 2015. I was elected back then, and I've been on the board ever since. It's a great time to be involved, to work with the public, work with the departments, and try to make the village of Port Edwards a better place when you leave than how you found it. It's a great experience so far.
How do you what do you see as the board's roles and responsibilities?
Well, with the board right now, the main responsibility is not too much overreach. We have great employees that work for the village of Port Edwards. It's our job to oversee that, but allow the department heads to make choices and communicate effectively with them. That's kind of the best case scenario on how I would like to see things run, and we've had sometimes been successful at that.
How do you plan to include the community in decision makings of the board?
If anybody knows me, I'm pretty black and white. If we have an issue, I'm going to say what the issue is. If we don't, then we move forward. I like to include the public as much as we can. The more informed that they are, the less the finger pointing or the thought of thinking that the board or anybody in a leadership position is trying to do something sneaky. The more transparent you are, the better relationship we have with people, the easier it is to not have that happen.
We're speaking with Eric Saylor, Port Edwards Village Trustee. Eric, what distinguishes you from other candidates?
I think my honesty, really. I am not hiding anything. I don't have any public agendas. I've seen it countless times in multiple boards and local government where somebody gets on a board, gets in a position of leadership, and has a personal agenda. You know, they want to build a shed or something. They want to change an ordinance. They get on, they fight for that, and then they get off. I do not have any personal agendas. I'm there for the people, to be elected to speak for those people, and to allow those residents to come to me and work on any issues. I allow all of them to have an open discussion.
Eric, final question, and then we'll let you get back to your day. Why should voters cast their ballot for you? Any final thoughts?
I think if anybody could look back at my record since 2015, all the majority of the meetings are recorded. The minutes are public. You can see how I voted. I have voted no and stood on an island countless times when it comes to fire department issues, public works issues, anything. I'm also very fiscally responsible. If you look at the budget right now, Port Edwards is taking loans out to subsidize their budget. That is not how a budget should work. That's not how my household income works. We have to work together, save our money, and if we can't afford certain services or products or equipment, then we can't buy it. That's what it comes down to. We only got so many $20 bills in our pocket.
Eric, appreciate the time. Appreciate the public service that you've put in. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, James.
You can find out more information about Eric and the other candidates at myvote.wi.gov, myvote.wi.gov, and keep in mind that the League of Women Voters have their candidate series that they're going to be doing, interviewing and having a meet and greet with candidates tomorrow at McMillan. More on that in a moment when we come back here on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Just a couple of minutes left of show. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour. Stick around, everybody. Matt and Air on the air coming up. Looking forward to hearing that wonderful voice of Jane's. I think Jane and Chuck have maybe my two favorite voices in radio, and we get to hear them all the time right here at WFHR. We're pretty spoiled. We have been very thankful, very spoiled by these candidates that have been joining us. Big, big thank you to all the candidates that have joined us, including the two that did today. A big thank you to Elizabeth St. Myers, Wisconsin Rapids School Board candidate, and to Eric Saylor, Port Edwards Village Trustee candidate. Thanks to them for joining us. Keep in mind that we are going to continue this candidate series, everybody. We've got more candidates coming in tomorrow. We will have with us at 8:35 Tom Ramon, candidate for Wisconsin Rapids Alderperson District 4. And after that at 9:35, Daniel Carlson, candidate for Nakusa Mayor. On Friday at 8:45, John Benbow will join us, candidate for the Wisconsin Rapids School Board. And then on Monday at 9:35, Jamie Sparks, Wisconsin Rapids Alderperson District 8. I do believe that will probably be our last candidate interview, and that will wrap up our series. Big thank you to all these these candidates for joining us. Be informed. Get out there and vote, everybody. And find out more information about voting tomorrow when our friends over at the League of Women Voters have their meet and greet going on. That is going from 6 to 8 over at McMillan Library tomorrow, from 6 to 7, Wisconsin Rapids mayoral candidates and the Wisconsin Rapids City Council member candidates. And then from 7 to 8, Wisconsin Rapids Public School Board candidates and the Town of Saratoga Supervisor candidates. You can find out more by going to their website, lwvwra.org, lwvwra.org, or of course going to myvote.wi.gov. You can find out more information there. Keep in mind, we got a great midday magazine lined up for you today. This is a jam-packed hour we've got lined up from 3 to 4 today. In part 1, Wisconsin Rapids Mayor Shane Blazer going to be joining us, along with Wisconsin Rapids Community Media. I'm not sure if this is our last interview with Shane or not. We'll find out, and we'll talk with him a little bit later. Looking forward to that. And then from at 3:30, Wisconsin Senator Patrick Teston will be joining us. Looking forward to Senator Teston joining us whenever he can. Always an interesting and transparent conversation with the Senator. So that's our hour for you today from 3 to 4. Be sure to join us for that. It's going to be a lot of fun. Also want to remind everybody, great local events going on in our area. Be sure to check out the Elks Lodge tonight from 6:30 when they got their bingo going on. Their doors open at 5, bingo at 6:30. Join our friends at the Elks Lodge at 4:30 West Jackson Street in Wisconsin Rapids. And keep in mind that we are looking for all your egg hunts.
Yes.
Okay, let us know about them. If you're an organization in the area that is hosting an Easter egg hunt, we want to know about it. We want to celebrate it and talk about it on the airwaves here. Go ahead and hit us up at 424-1300. That's our front desk line, 424-1300. Otherwise, you can go ahead and email us, info@wfhr.com. And just touching on one world good story, Coca-Cola just did something big for the environment. All versions of Coke sold in 20-ounce bottles will now come in bottles made of 100% recycled plastic. The new bottles hit store this week. As an organization that has put a lot into our oceans pollution-wise, I think it is the very least they can do to do something like that, but they still deserve credit for doing it. And two high school sweethearts from Michigan reconnected after 73 years and started dating again. Bill Hasenberg is 90 and Jonah Blacken is 92. They met on a school bus and went to prom together, but broke up after she left for college. Joanne's daughter looked Bill up 2 years ago and realized he only lived 80 miles away. So Joanne wrote him, and they've been talking ever since. Congratulations to them. Have a great day, everybody. Be good to each other. We'll talk to you soon and later right here at...
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.